Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. And we've got, wow, what looks like a front coming in. But today looks like a pretty good day to get out there on the golf course. And let me tell you, partly sunny skies for Saturday. Breezy, though. Windward and mocha showers scattered through the day. On the leeward side, we'll have isolated showers in the afternoon. High today, about 83. Easterlies, 15 to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, it's kind of starting to rev up. Mostly cloudy in the evening, clearing, but with breezy conditions and some isolated showers. And then the further we go into the week, those possible isolated thunderstorms come to play. But we've got tee times today. Let's just think about getting out on the golf course and having some fun. Volcano, 8:32, 9:24, 10:48. Those are the tee times open there. Mockalay, 8:40, 9:18, and the rubber duckies, they're on the golf course. Maybe we'll hit the sweet spot every time. All right, on Kauai, there is the 5-mile run, the 9th annual Bums Run for colon cancer, and then they'll be on the golf course. 11 o'clock is open if you'd like to play, 11:40, 12:20, and no, you don't have to run. That's just to play golf. All right, Kauai Lagoons, 9 o'clock, 10:50, and the San Francisco Bankers are in town. We've also got tee times, Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 8:30, 9:10, 11:20. Turtle Bay has an 8:58, a 9:22, an 11 o'clock, and Hawaii Kai, 8:50, 9:28. Pearl at Kalaau'au, an 8:32, 9:15, 10:10. Swinging skirts. They're on the golf course. Watch out. Hawaii Prince, 9:10, and a 12:40. And the Bay City Rollers are on the golf course, too. Take those skates off. It's going to ruin the green. All right, good old boys, they're out, and this is at Wailea on the gold course, 8:40, 9:20, 9:40, Emerald, 8:50, 9:30, 9:50, Blue, 8:30, 9:10, 9:30, and at Maui Nui, the Car Guys. May you all hit the sweet spot every time, and if you'd like to be there, 9:36 and an 11 o'clock, opportunities for you abound. Jeff Shackelford, author, 11 books, and his writing appeared in Los Angeles Times, Sports Illustrated, Golf Magazine, Lynx, Golf Digest, Golf World, The Golfer, Golf Web, Golf Journal. Rest in peace, he says. The Masters Journal. Can you imagine? He's writing for the Masters Journal. Guys, Golf Course Architecture, Golf Architecture, Golf Week, Golf Digest Index, Golf World, Golf.com. How in the world does one do all of that? We're going to find out after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club, brought to you by Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JN Motors. PRS does appliance repairs, maintenance, and sales. The Newtown Driving Range. Warm up before your round or wind down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. The Aloha Section PGA. Teach your kids to play golf, the game that lasts forever. Aloha Power Equipment. We put power at your fingertips in Evilay next to Costco Gas and in Waipahu. And teaching pro Claude Brousseau at the Wailea Golf Academy, Maui. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring him in. You know, if you want to kind of follow along, but go to his website, jeffshackelford.com. Jeff, two Fs, shackelford.com. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Aloha, Danielle. How are you today?
Well, you know, we're going to dance through the raindrops, but it's a beautiful day, and I'm in fine form, and I am so excited to have you on the show. I want to go to your article in Quadrilateral about money driving Europe's Ryder Cup, but I also want to go into some of the stuff that you've done. Beginning in 2000, you co-designed the Rustic Canyon Golf Course in Moore Park, California, collaboration with Gil Hance. you know, how did you get into golf?
I was one of those kids who tagged along with their parents playing golf, more intrigued by the golf cart, which is why I've never been fully anti-golf cart like some of my purist friends, because I know there's just a lot of people that that's kind of how you got into the game. You were attracted to that, and then you sort of accidentally pick it up, and it's a sport. I think it's best picked up that way, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. Absolutely, and I like that. You know, getting them into the game, golf carts are fabulous because they can feel like drivers when they're 10 years old, as long as they're not driving on the green. All right.
Right.
And
like our president does.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Fortunately, he probably has a couple of guys that comes along and cleans up after him, I hope, you know.
Yeah. Or they keep the greens as dry as Bay Hills when he plays, I think.
Okay, good. Yay. So, Jeff, I'm looking at, you know, all of the time that you've spent. You went to Pepperdine, Malibu, California, member of the golf team, graduating with your BA in communication. The golfer names you one of the modern golf's 10 most influential writers.
Oh, that was a long time ago, Danielle. You're going deep in my bio today.
Yeah, but I think it's cool. Okay, so let's go to something that's happening right now.
There you go.
We'll go straight to the article in the current Quadrilateral. That is Jeff Shackelford's. What do you call it? It's not like a newspaper. It's
a newsletter. I go with newsletter. Yeah, it's you know, I used to be a blogger and now I'm a newsletterer or something like that.
All right. I like this. Money drives Europe's Ryder Cup revenue choices. That sounds so not Ryder Cup in my, you know, it's like Ryder Cup and money. That same sentence, not good.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's that ship has sailed with the money element. And look, I get some of the arguments that have come up over the various years where the players are putting themselves on the line and there's a whole bunch of people making money off their backs. So I totally get their point of view, but it is, I just found it rich. Kind of after a few days of thinking about the situation right now with John Rahm, where he doesn't want to pay a bunch of money in fines and play a couple extra events on the DP World Tour to essentially regain his good standing and membership while he's over playing on LIV, and it's not a very interesting saga, except that Europe really made a point that they showed up at Bethpage not taking money like the Americans, and now they're kind of holding the line with Rahm on this thing, and I kind of get a few of John's issues, and so I just find it funny that they're the ones who were very proud of their noble stance, and yet the European Tour group, which runs the Ryder Cup, just literally puts their venue selection out to the highest bidder, and with no regard for the quality of the course, and then if they need to fix it up, they do. So it's for those of us who are real purists about the venue, it's ironic. And then Justin Thomas mentioned this week just how cool it would be. He was on the Smiley show, Smiley Kaufman's podcast, and just mentioned what a lot of us know is that a Ryder Cup of the old course would just be incredible. So I just wanted to put it out there as just a little reminder that as they tussle over money, that they're not exactly 100% pure on that front either.
No. With John Rahm, though, I want to go back to him quick. It's like he wants his cake and eat it too. Yeah, you know, he wants to play.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I also get though. It's kind of weird that the DP World Tour wants to tell him to play two places that are kind of not where he would normally play, probably. And it's a little bit, I mean, yes, but to your point, yes, he left for a lot of live money and he knew what was going on. And,
yeah.
And so, yeah, he, I mean, I'm not overly sympathetic to his plight, but I did find it interesting that he just flat out said, if you drop those two extra events, I'll sign your deal and pay your fines. And I thought that was pretty telling. That kind of got ignored, that line. Now, maybe it's just people don't take John at his word. He could be a little bit volatile at times with his statements. And, you know, ultimately, I think he's just not very happy playing with Liv and traveling all over the world. I think he really loves his family and wants to stay close to Scottsdale, and he screwed up.
Yeah. You know, I don't think a lot of these guys, they went for the money and didn't realize that it was going to be a whole different story and they weren't going to be able to easily get out of it. Okay, the next that I liked about Justin Thomas's dream of the old course hosting a Ryder Cup. I mean, the old course is, as you said in your article, gold. Or did Thomas say that? St. Andrews, I think, is gold. Thomas said on the latest episode of The Smiley Show, I would love, I just don't see how it's physically possible, but somehow, some way, for a Ryder Cup at St. Andrews. That would be like, you know, that would be like, I don't know, going to the Holy Grail of golf and having a Ryder Cup. That would be unbelievable.
It would, and it's, you know, his reaction that it wouldn't work, I think, is incorrect because they have a lot of people there for the Open. They have a lot of hospitality, so all the money stuff that is front of mind for some organizations would be not an issue. And then the actual course, I was there for the Walker Cup 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, and it's just so amazing for match play. And there's sort of an area out at the far end of the course where in the Ryder Cup, you'd have almost all the matches essentially on holes 7 through 12 at a certain point. And that's just there's little stuff like that. It would be so, so neat because, you know, a lot of people say, well, the course doesn't matter in the Ryder Cup or any of these cup events. And I say nonsense. It becomes a third sort of protagonist lead character in the whole thing and makes the matches more just makes them more interesting. Yeah. And so it's a fun thought exercise, and they haven't committed to anything past 2031, so we might as well throw it out there.
Might as well. And you know, but Justin Thomas is like talking out of two sides, you know, on the one side, I just don't see how it's physically possible. I don't understand the physically possible. It's physically possible. The course exists. People are standing up tall. We're all physically capable. But and then he goes on, somehow, some way, for a Ryder Cup at St. Andrews, you know, wow, there's no way that could happen. He goes back to that, you know.
Yeah. Well, again, he's seen the build out at these Ryder Cups, and they build these stadiums around the first tees, and but there's room for all that stuff at the old course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that would be fantastic. All right. So this would be. When I'm looking through the article, okay, it's all about the Ryder Cup and money. This is Jeff Schaffgelford, and it's Quadrilateral is where you'll find him. We can go to jeffschaffgelford.com too and find all of the articles that you've written. Yes.
Yep, they're all there, and or just Google Jeff and golf, Jeff with a G, and you'll find my stuff.
And when they talk about St. Andrews lacking a wealthy benefactor looking to juice the real estate sales or fill up a resort by hosting a Ryder Cup, give us some insight here.
That's me. Yes, that was me. That wasn't Justin. And a lot of people don't know, and that's another reason I wrote the piece. Just kind of, I woke up in the morning for some reason, decided, even though we're so far away from another Ryder Cup, to point out, generally, they've been selecting places that are, looking, well, to be blunt, to promote themselves.
Uh-huh.
And so
yes.
They usually go to a place that's not very good, and that by having a Ryder Cup, it gives it more credibility. And now Adair Manor, the next host in Europe, has J.P. McManus, a very wealthy benefactor, but it really doesn't need this Ryder Cup. But several of the venues they've had recently, and then this new one they selected in Spain, is just a resort where they want attention, and it's not a very good course, and it's a real estate development. And And so they also have government incentives, and they set up some things that, essentially bring a tournament to the place for a few years under the guise of allowing the Europeans to practice on the course. But it's just about money and creating more tournaments. And so they plead poverty whenever you mention, why do you guys have to go to all these lousy courses? Wow, this pays for the Ryder Cup. And it's a little bit, like I said, it's just a little much. When they're also kind of bragging about the fact that they played for nothing at Bethpage, and they did not get pay, but and they won and it worked, but yeah, spare us a little bit of the sanctimonious stuff about how pure they are.
How pure? Yes, I like that. Now, then the other issue. The PGA Tour wants something it cannot ask for, something that benefits no one but itself, from people who have every reason to say nothing at all. That is the quagmire Brian Rolapp's predecessors overseeing the tour could never solve. For decades, the tour's overtures on calling the Players' Championship the fifth major. I can't believe we're still talking about the possibly fifth major.
Yeah, it's a real head-scratcher because, look, he's a new CEO, and the view in the corporate world, and it's just sort of silly, the more you start to break this all down, is that when you come in new and you can do whatever you want and you can break things and... you have a grace period. You know, we view this with politicians too, and it's weird because, of course, you're trying to build something that is sustainable and functions over a long term. And so, one of those things, I guess, on the list that and it's a real credibility killer to anybody who knows golf is they've decided they need to declare the Players a major. And that way they can, I guess, get more TV money at some point if it were to be considered a major. And it's one of those weird little things that if you don't know the game, that to put it bluntly, you look like an idiot, peddling this idea. And you also, I guess what it reveals to me is that there's nobody saying to the new leader of the PGA Tour, you know, that just wouldn't be one I'd really come out firing on in your first big year on the job. You know, there's other things we can think about. And so, I've got another piece coming where I started kind of looking at the motives for this and some of the other things you wish he was focusing on ahead of, I guess, what's going to be a very big announcement on Wednesday, because they're convening all these people and they're doing it at the tour headquarters, and it's going to be a big splashy TV show kind of thing. So we'll all have to see what that's about.
Well, when you come from the NFL, you have grandiose, you know, it's like he's playing at the top of the echelon when it comes to football sports. So he goes to the PGA Tour figuring he's going to have that moxie, you know. It's just going to be, I don't get it. Like you said, I can't wait to read your article. That's coming out on Wednesday?
I'm going to drop that one on Tuesday. I'm still working on it, but I might even get a little mention of the Hawaii element and my confusion at kind of the approach to what we've been hearing. But again, I don't want to get ahead of it. There's just other stuff I think that's more important, though, for them to be focused on. That's kind of what I'm pointing out, than stuff like the fifth major. And in my research, they're probably too late as it is, because some of this is designed, Danielle, to get ahead of, look, they have a TV deal through 2030, but it sounds like they really want to get out of it or reimagine it. And ahead of the NFL doing the same exact thing. Well, it turns out the NFL appears to have expedited that. So they may, what's concerning me is they may be blowing things up and for a dream of getting more money that's just not going to happen. And I'm just perplexed at the sort of odd willingness to just go, okay, well, you know, this isn't working, and we need to try something else. And I'm just not convinced that things were as broken as they're going to probably claim they were.
You know, all I hear in my little kid in voice in my brain is like, say it ain't so, Jeff. You know, it's like money.
Yeah.
Money. What?
Well, and, you know, it's funny, the thing that probably brings the week, the tournament that generates the most revenue, the Masters probably does it, I don't want to say accidentally, but they almost do it not trying so hard. And it makes them even better because
yes.
They keep prices reasonable. They don't have too many sponsors. They have a real minimal amount of sign. Well, they have no signage, and yet they get these. And look, it's a major, and there's other elements, but it's almost like by trying not to make money, they make more money.
Yeah, but hey, what? They make more money doing it, you know, like as though they were doing it for, you know, at the Sony. You know, it's like,
yeah,
they make a huge event seem like a neighborhood affair. And it's so wonderful that, and that's why we all look forward to the Masters, in addition to the fact that it's really good golf.
Right. And it's an entertaining product. Yeah. And it's a strange time, because I always kind of go back to what would the Masters do is always my question on something. And you just don't sense that that's kind of where we're at right now. And that's the danger of having, you know, there are positives potentially to having somebody who doesn't know golf. But then there are real negatives too, because golf's different than other sports, and you do have to acknowledge, there are elements to a schedule. I mean, the list is so long of things that you do it the way you do it for reasons that might seem odd to people on the outside, because ultimately the tour is supposed to be about tournaments and players. And if you start taking away tournaments, you know, you're not helping your players in a lot of ways. It's a long year, but there's a reason that Scottie Scheffler turned up in Palm Springs. He needed to get, you know, the rust off, and then he went and won. So it hasn't been great since. But, you know, that he'll have that win and that mindset going into the Masters, that he still did that not long ago. And that's good for your players. So it's there's just a lot of layers to the whole thing. And we'll see what they've got on Wednesday.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to your piece. You'll talk a little bit about Hawaii's problem with golf. I mean, the idea of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's there's no problem with Hawaii and golf. It's an NFL problem, and
mm-hmm.
as we know, and you and I have discussed, it's a little bit of a mystery sometimes why they don't schedule it a little bit differently, you know, finish on Saturday or finish on Monday, whatever it is for TV. So I haven't seen a lot of creativity shown, and I just think it's a massive mistake to possibly eliminate those events if that's where they're headed. I just think it's a great way to start the year, and for a lot of people in the United States, it's a great thing to watch, and it's also a great thing for the players as a way to start the year.
It is. I couldn't help but believe that for the players, it's a fabulous time to take the family, enjoy the holiday, and then they're going to have to travel, and do what they do to earn a living to take care of their family. Jeff Shackelford, author of 11 books, publisher, The Quadrilateral, and... JeffShackelford.com, well-known author, writer, blogger, podcaster, golf architect, television analyst. He covers major championship golf, golf course design. That blows my mind. I just am so impressed by you. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse.
All right. Thank you, Danielle. Aloha.
Aloha. Coming back, Ben Hongo, PGA President, Aloha Section PGA. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
And want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy starting, super quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range, located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ben Hongo, PGA, member of PGA of America, the largest sports organization composed of PGA of America golf professionals who work every day to grow interest and get us participating in the game of golf because it's good for the mind, good for the body, and good for friendships, by the way. Ben Hongo pointed out to me that his president, Aloha Section PGA, Pau, his term is over. Ben, welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning.
Good morning. So who's the next president? Do we know yet?
Yes. His name is Ed Kageyama. Oh. You know him. He's the GM at the Pearl Country Club.
Yes. No wonder he's so busy.
Yes, he's a busy man. I don't know how he does it.
But it's just like you. You know, everybody's out. I don't know how Ben does it. Director of Instruction at Hongo Golf, and you can find more about Ben Hongo PGA at hongogolf.com. He's based in Lahaina. You have so many accolades, though. I mean, Golf Digest Best Teachers in Hawaii, voted by his peers, 2024-2025. Aloha Section PGA has awarded him Teacher of the Year, 2017. It must be really fulfilling to get acknowledgement like that. Ben. Have I lost Ben? Oh, dear. Let's see. We seem to have, we've lost him for now. Ben Hongo is a runner. We're going to try to get in touch with him. A foodie. A sushi cuisine lover. A lover of the game of golf. He's a member of the Aloha Section PGA, as I mentioned, since 1989. And we were going to focus on putting and the short game this morning because a lot of folks want to go to the range and just bang balls, you know, and it's a really good feeling. It's a great thing to do, you know, just hit that ball. You can get a lot of frustration out of you. But, so Ben, we're trying to get through to – Okay, I think we've got him back on. And Ben Hongo, are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Okay, you know, it is what it is. Don't even worry about it. So, Ben Hongo, we're focusing on putting this morning and the short game. And I was just talking about how, you know, a lot of us just want to go to the driving range and hit that ball, get all that stuff out of you, learn to hit it better. But really, the key, and we watch it on the television all the time, the key to winning this game is really the short game and putting, wouldn't you think?
Yes, I agree. You know, I think the majority of the shot is played, you know, inside of, say, 40 yards or so. So I think it's definitely part of the game where where people don't they don't really work at it as much.
Uh-huh.
And I think like a lot of people's practice on putting is like 5 minutes before they go play golf. So they're just kind of warming up, in my opinion, but they're not really working on anything.
Yeah, you know, hitting that golf ball off the range and watching it go 230 yards, it's kind of sexy. You know,
it makes yes.
The crack, you know, there's the sound of it going, and then it rolls along and you feel really accomplished. Putting, people, I think, tighten up a little bit and get a little bit, you know, so that you're gripping that putter. And it's actually working against you. Can you tell us the best way to kind of relax and putt?
Yeah, I think you have to, like, you know, when you're practicing, I think you have to kind of work on your routine, you know, some type of a ritual or free shot routine, we call it in golf, you know, where you are, you know, where you get not just physically prepared to hit a golf, I mean, to hit the putt or the chip, but also mentally. Where you're getting ready. I think that's really important.
Yeah, and I was looking at your video, and I like how you set it up for yourself to practice putting and to show us while we were watching the video how best to do that. And tell us about, you know, sometimes when instead of taking the putter straight back and a little straight forward, how sometimes we get into this, like, little motion where it's kind of getting around us. So it's going around in front and around, and that's probably not really good for getting it in the putt, into the hole.
Yeah, so, you know, a putter, you know, from a technical standpoint, it sits on about a 70-degree angle. So it's not, you know, totally 90 degrees to the ground. So when you really think about it, when you put that golf club on a pendulum of some sort, it has to arc in just a little bit. But, you know, 70 degrees is pretty close to 90 degrees. so it's going to go, you know, more straight back and forth, you know, opposed to, say, a driver that sits on the ground, you know, roughly on a 50-degree angle. So from a technical standpoint, you know, it is a little bit straighter back, but it's not completely straight back and forth. You know, there are a lot of stuff, there's a lot of teaching aids out there that kind of get people to feel how much around is correct and how much straight back is correct. There are a lot of devices out there. I use a little PVC pipe that's lifted off the ground for my students so they get the feel for that.
Nice, yeah.
And you know, and obviously you're trying to eliminate a lot of the rotation of the club face, you know, and that's why I think a lot of those zero torque putters are being really popular, or face balance putters are, you know, a lot more popular these days than they were, you know, versus the, you know, some of the old school putters.
What do you suggest?
And I also think that comes back down to, you know, personal preference and how you like to move the putter as well. So there's a lot of stuff going on. But having said that, I think putter gives players a little bit more opportunity for individual styles and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
You see all different kinds of stuff out there on the PGA Tour, and they work, you know.
Yeah, they definitely work on their short game, their putting game, because they know how critical it is. There was a commentator on television the other day who said, you know, it's really sad. And I thought, oh, boy, this is really so true. The first couple of days, the person's like on fire, you know, they're low 60s or mid 60s and coming in, and you think they're going to win. And then you get into Thursday, Friday, and it's like, all right, excuse me.
Yes.
You're coming to the end Saturday, Sunday. boof, what happens? What happens at that time? And you've played professionally. What happens?
I think it's just like, you know, something comes, you know, it happens in your mind, and you start to, you know, your breathing pattern changes, just everything stops flowing, you know, like, you know, when you're playing good and everything's going good, it just, everything seems really, really easy. And all of a sudden, you know, you start overthinking. And I just think that that's why I think the pre-shot routines are really important. So you're more reacting opposed to, you know, trying to do something. So I think that's really important. I think, I'm working with my competitive players. You know, I'll challenge them in putting. So I'll have them, like, you know, take, like, five footers and stuff like that. And I say, okay, you got to make 10 in a row. And they get to about 8 in a row, and they start to feel a little bit different. I don't think it's possible to make practice as intense or get that same feeling that you feel on the golf course or even in tournament. To simulate that on practice, but I try my best to challenge them. And unfortunately, I'm a pretty good putter, so I I also do like a putting contest with the kids.
Yeah.
And whatnot, and it makes them just kind of gets the juices flowing, I guess. And and more you do it, I think you get used to it. And you get used to the, and I'm not saying that Scottie Scheffler doesn't feel any pressure, and certainly, he's got a five-footer to win the Masters or win the Ryder Cup or whatever it may be. I'm sure that, that pressure is up. But that same pressure that he feels is the same pressure that, average player feels when he has to make a putt for a birdie. So more you put yourself in that situation, I think, better you're going to be. And you just have to be very focused and very positive.
I like what you said about apologies. I like what you said about breathing, because oxygen feeds the brain, and if you don't breathe, you're keeping suffocating yourself.
right. And then there's kind of two. In my putting, when I do putting lessons, I always try to get players to kind of work on. I mean, there's a physical part of it, obviously. But there's two I call my baselines, and which is number one, five footers, and there's a drill where you go around the horn or around the clock, so you got right to left and left to right, uphill, downhill, all that stuff from five footers, and I think 5 foot putts are really important. It's a confidence builder, and whatnot. And, and a lot of people, like when they watch golf and they see five footers and, PGA Tour players make it on a regular basis. But you also have to understand that when you're watching golf on television, I mean, most of us don't watch a lot of golf on Thursdays and Fridays. You see guys missing cuts and they're not making those five footers. Most of us watch golf on Sunday afternoon, where the best of the best are putting the best, even for them, they're putting really, really good. So you don't see them missing a lot of five-footers on Sundays on the telecast. But, it's not 100%, as a lot of people think. It's like 75% from five-footers. I think it's really important to work on the five-footers. I also like to get players to get out to 30 feet or longer.
Wow.
for your distance control. So those are kind of two baselines that I use a lot with my students. So 5 footers and 30 footers.
Now, when I was watching online, you also, with the hips, and you actually put up something right behind your back to keep you in position. Can you? Mm-hmm. It was like you stuck it in the ground so that you could you'd have to back up against it to stop yourself from making a physical error. What was that all about?
So I usually actually my sign, the Hongo golf sign. I stuck it in the ground.
Okay.
And I stuck my rear up against it. Usually at the academy, what I'll use it is like a wall or something. And it's basically just maintaining your posture.
There you go.
So when you flex out over the golf ball, if you can kind of think about, like your body, your head's like the heaviest part of your body. It's like on average it weighs 11 pounds. And you're, somewhere below your belly button is your center of gravity. So to a certain degree, we're kind of like upside down sailboat. So your head's the keel. And your lower body is kind of like a mast, so they're constantly counterbalancing, and that's how we can kind of stand up and everything. So what happens is when you're looking at it from a frontal playing. You know, when you bend out over the golf ball, whether it's putting or driving, okay, your rear has to kind of go out towards the heel as your head goes out over your toes. And there has to be counterbalance there. So a lot of people don't know how that feels, or a lot of people get their weight too much on their toes, and they're constantly battling their posture and their balance. So that's what that thing was.
That's great. That is probably the best sage advice that I have heard in a long time. You know, about the head and the heels and the butt. And stick your butt out.
If you were in front of me, I could kind of show it to you a little bit more. So I hope it makes sense.
Oh, no, you did it perfectly. Yeah, it made total sense. That's great. That's great.
Another way to kind of feel that is if you get a piece of two by four and put it on the ground and stand on it and then start flexing out over the ball. So if you're too much toe heavy, you'll fall over on the front side.
Yeah.
Too much heel, you'll fall backwards on that two by four. So that's another good way to feel that.
Awesome. Now, we've got wind in the forecast. We've got rain in the forecast. For the wind game, keep it down. What am I going to do? It's blowing hard.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a golf course, let's just say like St. Andrews or something like that, where you're just going in and out, you're not hitting a golf ball into the wind 100% of the time, right? I mean, you're hitting the golf ball into the wind 50% of the time. So, yes, it makes sense to hit the golf ball low if you're hitting the golf ball into the wind. But if you're going downwind, if you want to take advantage of the wind, you have to hit the ball, higher. So, the same as trying to keep the ball really low, everywhere. I don't know if that applies, 100% of the time. I think you have to, the wind comes in play for your putting as well. I mean, it really, in your short game, because it really affects the speed. So if you're going downwind, here in Hawaii, or especially here on the West Maui, most of the time when you're going downwind, you're also going downhill and down grain. So we have like the three elements, going all in one direction. So there's a lot of times at Kapalua, like say you're playing number 10 on the plantation course, I mean, you may be 130 yards out and you're hitting a 5-iron. Because you're going straight uphill, you're going straight into the grain, and going straight into the wind. So I get it. In that situation, you want to hit the ball a little bit lower. But if you're coming down a hill, say number 18 on the plantation course, you're coming straight down the hill, downwind and everything, and you're on the downslope, you need to somehow get that ball up in the air. So I think, as a complete player, I think you have to be able to hit the golf ball high and low at will.
Absolutely great. Thank you very, very much for giving some basics and the ideas of balancing and using the board. I'm like, wow, that was really good. Thank you, Ben Hongo, PGA.
Thank you. It's always nice spending these Saturday mornings with you, and hopefully I will see you soon again.
Oh, yes. You'll be back on real soon. Thank you, Ben Hongo, PGA, head teaching professional at Kapalua Golf Academy, director of instruction, Hongo Golf, and you can find out more at hongogolf.com. It's HONGO golf.com. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
When Sears opened here more than 60 years ago, who made all their signs? The Honolulu Sign Company, to 1724 Hart Street off Waikamula Road on the Evaside. They do building marquees, letter signs and lighted signs, parking and tow signs of every kind, OSHA compliant signs, custom signs of all types. Call 847-4047. Licensed and insured Honolulu Sign, serving Hawaii since 1939, where quality and service have not been forgotten. Call 847-4047 now.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mailed to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate, or that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Hey, Mark Rolfing here. The First Tee Hawaii is a nonprofit organization that helps kids build character, confidence, and life skills through golf. And we need volunteers like you to coach our next generation of golfers. No matter your skill level, our free coach training gives you tools to mentor kids. We have locations on all the islands, and enrollment is open now for our Level 1 Coach Certification. Call 808-500-1515.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
Gosh, it feels like eons ago, a long, long time ago, Diana DeLucia, Golf Kitchen magazine and books founder, CEO, editor, writer, photographer, journalist. You want to find out more about her? It's golfkitchen.com. Very easy. But it was many moons ago, many years ago. Hey, Diana DeLucia, welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha. I was thinking the same thing. It's been a while since we've talked.
Yeah. And I mean, remember when were you in Hawaii?
Oh, gosh. We've been a few times. My last recall was when we got together at Kohanaiki.
Yes. Yes. It's just, but if it seems like 10 years. Is it that long? It's just incredible.
I think it's like, no, it must be 2017, I think.
Okay.
2017 or 18.
Okay, it's not as long as it just feels long.
It does feel long.
But, and look how you've expanded. I mean, from a dream that you talked to me about of creating Golf Kitchen, a magazine, and books, now it's flourishing. Tell us how Golf Kitchen came about.
Well, it started a long time ago, as you know. Like the original vision was in 2010, and that began at Sabonic Golf Club in Southampton as a book titled Golf Club World, Behind the Gate. And then the Golf Kitchen project started, and that launched in 2016 on November the 9th at Wingfoot Golf Club, and then the magazine started shortly thereafter.
And you were doing this as a team of a bunch of people, or was this Diana DeLucia?
Well, it was me by myself at the beginning, and you know, I've had some, you know, partners that I didn't work out, and now I have a really solid team of column writers.
Wow.
Cool. We have Matthew Gilbert from Medina Golf Club, Country Club, sorry, Hannah Flora, from Hannah Flora Enterprises. She's just doing spectacularly well. She came second on Hell's Kitchen, and she will be the TV host for the Golf Kitchen TV series.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You just went from books to TV? A TV show?
Well, we've been pushing the TV series for years, and we're really close to getting funded. So everyone say your prayers, because this TV show will make a difference and it will bring younger people to the private club industry that don't know anything about it and don't realize that there are great culinary careers in the industry.
fantastic. A TV show. I'm so in, this is wonderful. You just never stop. You're always bringing in more information from wherever you can find it, and it percolates, and then you have these fabulous ideas. You put them into action, and voila, we have not just Golf Kitchen magazine, but looking forward to Golf Kitchen, a television show. What are you going to call the show?
Golf Kitchen.
Of course. That was a real tough one that I threw at you, wasn't it?
It'll be a reality series.
Oh.
It's going to be hip and young and really glamorous, luxury lifestyle, food, wine, mixology. It's going to be super exciting.
So we're going to be learning, too, how to bring that into our own world.
Yes, definitely.
Oh, that's a really good idea. And then, okay, so in addition to your magazine and your team and Golf Kitchen books, let me go backwards. Why did you bring golf and food, a kitchen, together? Where did that come from?
Well, I had the magazine. I was part owner in New York City for 6 years called New York Restaurant Insider. And that was in the 2010s, I think. No, it was in the 2000s.
Okay.
Getting back in the day now. And blogging came in.
Oh.
And when blogging came in, everybody was writing about the same chef. Everybody was allowed to go to the James Beard Award, and it just got watered down for me personally.
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't as exclusive as it was anymore. So I started thinking about, we had closed that magazine in the recession, and I started thinking about where are chefs not being highlighted that is really hard for bloggers to go to. That was how it started. And then I started thinking about golf clubs, Formula One, polo, and I thought all these places must have great chefs, right?
Yeah.
Because these people can eat wherever they want. So did some research, and I chose the golf industry because I factored that all clubs, whether they're city clubs, whether they're Formula One, whether they're polo or tennis, they'd all be related to the golf industry in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did some research, got a lot of no's at the beginning. Then I found Sabonic Golf Club, which had only been open a few years, and I called them and spoke to Troy Albert, and then I was out there a week later, and he was instrumental in that first project and gave me my biggest break in the industry ever.
What was that break?
He basically funded my first book project.
Wow.
Called Golf Kitchen. Oh, no, Golf Club World Behind the Gate.
Yes.
And it sold out.
I have a copy. I do believe. That's wonderful.
Well, you know, I really like, when you go back 15 years and I follow the journey, you know, every single person from Mr. Pascucci and Sabonic Golf Club to the current day, including yourself. I remember you were one of the first people with Anne Ligori as well.
Yes.
To have me on your radio shows ever.
I do remember.
Yeah. And we're still talking today.
Yes. And you're doing so much. I mean, you have a role in the on the dinner committee at the Met Golf Writers Association. Wow.
Yeah, I love that role. I love it. We did it. I did my first year last year. I feel like I'm really contributing to something and making a difference. So we did it at, they brought me on last year to help them elevate the culinary side of the event. And I called Carrie Favreau, the chef at Westchester Country Club, because they were hosting the event. And on October the 6th last year, he brought on a spectacular outdoor event with all the string lights. The Augusta National people were getting an award, the chairman. And it was just absolutely spectacular. And Chef Carrie Favreau, he brought it out of the ballpark. And everyone was just saying, this is the best dinner we've ever had.
Wow.
So this year, it's October the 6th again. And it's at Mountain Ridge Golf Club in New Jersey, which I think is the home of the Mizuno Open this year.
Wow. You are really getting into golf, aren't you?
Well, you know, at that event last year, you know, my friend Lisa with Mr. Frank's Seasonings and her son Shay, you had him on the show,
yeah,
remember?
Yeah.
Well, he's got his is it score below four now? He's got a PGA coach in Washington State.
Yeah. Wow.
Brian Crowell got him a PGA coach in Washington State, and he's doing really well. But he played in the tournament at the Golf Writers event at Westchester because they have a tournament with the event.
Uh-huh.
He did very well, and he's returning in October.
Congratulations. That is awesome.
So I think he's a really got a big chance of having a big career in this industry.
Oh, that's wonderful. In the industry of golf?
Yes, he's a golfer.
Yeah, yeah. So he should be on the show again.
He's 15. He's 15, and I think he turned 16 this year.
Well, you know, we start him young. And they would go into first tee programs, you know, and they're 7 years old and they're learning everything about etiquette, how to behave in groups, when to, you know, not push somebody around. Like, how about never? And all of that is taught. And then they start understanding that relationships. And then the whole time that's going on, they're hitting these golf balls and using their putters, and pretty soon they're amazing human beings and growing up and doing wonderful things in their lives in school and pursuing careers that may not even be golf or may not even have anything to do with athletics. Maybe they want to be scientists. It doesn't matter, but they have this foundation that it all starts. It's really, I mean, I go on and on about this, right? There she goes again, first tee. but it's so good for kids, so they know how to behave. And it's a wonderful, wonderful program, and I think golf does a lot for youngsters. And now this young man is coming up, turning 16, wanting to become a professional golfer. And as long as his drive is there and he wants to pursue it, that's awesome. I say go for it, as long as you get an education as a result.
It's all he wants to do. He's obsessed.
Funny how that happens, isn't it? Okay, so here you are, the Met Golf Writers Association, and now we're also going back to the National Club Association and the Distinguished Clubs. Yes, what? You're on the...
I joined the National Club Association. You know, I had always wanted to, but, you know, it's a bit of an investment, and I made the investment. And I'm glad I did because, you know, I'm able to make more connections with people. And I co-wrote an article for them that's in their current Club Director magazine. And I co-wrote it with Matthew Gilbert from Medina Country Club.
Wow.
And it's a really good educational article about how clubs can become the newest culinary incubators.
Far out. See, I mean, and cooking, it's fundamental in every society. You know, everybody's cooking different styles. And I imagine that you have a lot of different creations with these people who are into the world of culinary arts.
Yeah, there's so much going on right now. Like, a lot of, you would never have heard me say this back in the day, but one of the big things is a lot of the successful restaurant chefs they're gravitating towards the golf industry now, which I thought I would never see.
It's a good industry. You can count on them coming back to the country club because they're going to play golf and then they're going to be hungry.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We run on our stomachs. And the second Burke Celebrity Chef Showdown by Golf Kitchen. I didn't know this at Medina Country Club. You never told me. It's April 24th?
Yeah, it's the second one in the series. The first one was at Montemi Golf Club last September. And then I booked the Medina one. So what happens at these events is Chef David Burke, who's a major celebrity, and he competes with the club chef on stage at the club.
Wow.
And they have baskets. It's kind of like Chopped, except it's live at the club. And David competes, and it's a whole comedy thing. It's not a serious competition. And they have, like, four secret ingredients in the basket each. They don't know what the ingredients are. Mm-hmm. And they have to cook two courses live on camera. And we pick judges out of the audience. And they have to come and sit up and judge the competition. Meanwhile, there's a fine dining four-course menu where all the members are and guests are dining and wining, and they have cocktails, and we have a glamorous cocktail hour. It's going to be a hoot.
Yes. K-O-R-L, Waianae, Honolulu. I can only imagine if you give a chef, you know, a basket, and he's first got to look and see what's in that basket. And is it timed? Are they competing, like, on time, too?
Yeah, there's a time schedule, yes. So this event, they're adding a dessert as well.
Oh, my.
And there's going to be some little twists and turns that I can't mention yet. But we've got, like, there's a club called Macaulay. They're actually flying in because they're doing one in October. And they're going to attend the event, and they're going to go in the kitchen so they can make sure they keep up with the program.
Is this going to be videoed? You know, are we going to be able to see it somewhere?
Yes, Medina is videoing the whole thing. We're also going to be doing some promotion with that, with video, like a showdown between David and Matthew, kind of like a Chicago, New Jersey Ultimate Fighter type thing.
With food.
But chef.
As long as they're not throwing at each other's face.
We want to have some fun with it. The world needs a lot of fun right now.
Oh, gosh, isn't that the truth? Boy.
We need to bring fun and energy.
Uh-huh. I'm liking this very, very much. I want to sit in the... Maybe I shouldn't be in the audience or far back in the audience in case the food is being flung at us.
Oh, you would love it. I wish you could go.
I know.
You would be welcome to come.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Flying. Here we go. Now, back to a person who intrigues me. She has this way about the way her stance when she has a photo taken of her. Chef Hannah Flora.
Yeah, she's going to be the host of our TV series.
Oh, gosh, perfect. Boy, she captivates a person's attention. There's something fierce about her and yet gentle. Does that make sense?
Yeah, she has this amazing look that people like her. Trust me, I have asked all the GMs. They love her.
Yes.
I've asked all the chefs. They love her. There's zero. Our producer, our director, love her. I love her, as you know. I've known her for a long time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I'm pretty confident we're going to get this going this year.
Yeah. Where is she working? Where does she cook?
She has her own company now, Hannah Flora Enterprises.
Oh, my goodness. What am I talking about? Wow. That is just like you.
And she's 32.
And she's 32. Well, I guess I'm a little bit older than that. Shit, wow, that's fantastic. Well, say hi for me. Now, I have to ask you, mental health is the secret ingredient for the future of food. Is that from Chef Hannah Flora?
We have two mental health stories in this edition. One is by Hannah that covers from a chef's perspective, and the other is from Vincent Tracy, who's a general manager at Mount Hawley Country Club in Illinois. He's actually a fully qualified mental health coach, and he's got a whole series that he's already produced covering that topic from a general manager's perspective. So we've got both sides, and I think I was at the Club Managers Association World Conference a couple of weeks ago in Anaheim, California, and I did find that finally the mental health topic in the industry is coming to the forefront.
That's fantastic. Because I can only imagine the amount of stress that is involved in being in a kitchen and producing and everybody working together. Because, you know, it is what it is. That just is what it is. Inside the Evolution of an Icon, a conversation with Jason Kisik.
Oh, at Casa de Campo. Oh, what a wonderful trip that was. I have to thank the people at the Buffalo Group for organizing that trip.
Okay.
Jason Kisik, he's the chief marketing officer there. I mean, everyone there loves him. It was overwhelming to see, you know, just from the staff to the grounds people, high up, low down, whatever it was, positions, they all knew him by name and he knew them by name.
Wow.
It was an incredible interview. I learned a lot. And I had a great trip, and I haven't been there for, it was like 10 years almost to the day.
Oh, good feeling.
Oh my God, what a lot of upgrades they have there. It's just unbelievable.
GolfKitchen.com. That's where you can find out more about Diana DeLucia. Golf Kitchen magazine and books. She's founder, CEO, editor, writer, photographer, journalist, and soon to be a grandma. I just had to throw it in because I'm a grandma. It's kind of fun.
I don't know what I'm going to call myself yet. I haven't worked that out.
Grams?
No.
Diana DeLucia, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. It's been a blast talking with you. It's got to do this more often, okay?
Thank you. And best to everyone for your support.
Oh, aloha. We're coming back with Kelly Hines, PGA professional, Hokuala Golf Adventures, Hokuala Teaching Program. It's all at the Ocean Course at Hokuala. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
I'm Colin Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
Your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
Power outages can hit without warning. Keep the lights on with a Honda generator from Aloha Power Equipment. You'll never be left in the dark with Honda's lightweight, easy-starting, super-quiet generators. Put the power of a Honda generator to work for you.
We put power at your fingertips, Aloha Power Equipment.
What's a great way to shape up your golf? Polish your swing at the Newtown Golf Driving Range located in Iaea. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe and check out the Asau Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey Nakama Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. If you want more consistency and more distance in your golf swing, schedule a session with Coach Claude Brousseau. PGA Master and Director of Player Development at the Wailea Golf Academy. He's ranked number one teacher in Hawaii by Golf Digest since 2019 and three-time PGA Teacher of the Year. Claude will simplify your game and make you better. Scratch golfer or just beginning, call Claude at 808-856-9458 or by email claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's 808-856-9458. And have more fun playing golf.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
You know, there's something even worse than it bouncing out, because what, you want it lips? You're like, go in, and it goes out. Kelly Hines, PGA professional, Hokuala Golf Adventures, Hokuala Teaching Program. It's all at the Ocean Course at Hokuala, a lifelong resident. Kelly Hines, welcome into the clubhouse this morning.
Oh, aloha, Danielle. Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. You know, I was looking at this going, you're one of the first families of golf. Do you get...
Yeah, you are, right? Yeah, with the Ragos and Baranabas and the Castillos.
Yeah. How did that, you know, was it your grandfather, your father? How did y'all get into golf as a quote-unquote business?
It was, my dad was a superintendent at Kauai Surf. My mom was a left-hander, love golf. And, of course, my older brother, Tommy Hines, is also a golf professional. And it was because of my brother that just kind of got all of us involved in golf. I did not like golf at all. I hung out at Kalapaki surfing, and I got into it a little bit later in life.
But when you were surfing, didn't you win awards? It seems like I remember you competing.
No, I got just a little local surf meet out on the west side.
but you know, you were enjoying yourself, and
oh, absolutely,
yeah. And do you find that surfing somehow helped you with golf? Because I know a lot of surfers and golfers. There's, you know,
yeah. Definitely, you know, it's about balance, right? And, it's about balance, following through. Make sure you get through that curl and get in the tube. And then, of course, making that putt, always following through.
Now, you have several. I mean, you're really busy. Tell us about Hokuala Golf Adventures.
Well, at Hokuala, we have a lot of things under the Hokuala Golf Adventure umbrella. We have the Hui Aloha Tours, which is a sunrise tour, and it takes you through our property, goes through the farm on the property, gives the history of the property, and that's led by Hualani Duncan. She's our golf sales manager. We have First Tee program with Coach Juan and Coach Isaac. They've been doing very well with that. I have the Operation 36 golf program, always popular, mostly with adults. I have a lot of adults, a lot of couples that come out and learn the game. And last year I started to incorporate the scoring method. And so not just staying on the tee box and hitting balls after balls on the driving range, I take them out on the golf course. And we hit shots from different areas. We try and hit the green from 100 yards.
Yes.
10 balls, seeing how they can, you know, are they under clubbing? Are they, you know, where's their aim? So that has been a lot of fun. And my students have been seeing a lot of great results on that.
Yes.
Oh, and then we have our weekly golf clinics, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m. And then we have our weekly golf scrambles. In the afternoons on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. That starts off at 2 o'clock, but with a 1 o'clock golf clinic to get those golfers going.
That's awesome. So Aloha Swing Clinics, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 o'clock in the morning, and it's for beginners and guys or gals who want to be get a refreshers.
Yeah, it's for everybody. Monday, I try to concentrate on putting. Wednesday is on wedges, and then Friday hope to take them into the golf zone. We also have the golf zone. So it's a Aloha Friday launch, not lunch, launch.
What do you mean by golf zone? Like just...
We have the golf zone. It's you can hit shots. So if it's raining, they can see their golf swing, their club head speed, ball speed, backspin.
Wow.
It's a golf... Oops, I'm taking a drink of my water here.
No problem.
Golf simulator.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. And we're expecting to get a whole lot of rain in the next couple of days. You keep telling us, you know, alert, alert. There's going to be inches and inches of rain falling upon us over a period of time.
I hope not, because we have good golf and good girls in the house. They're here on the island. They just got in yesterday, so they'll be playing all of our golf courses on the island and finishing up at Hokuala, and they're staying at the beautiful Timbers Resort. So I hope the weather will be good for them.
good golf and good, what was that again?
So good golf. So they've come to our property. This is their third time, I believe, back. And this time they have girls. They have women playing against them. So excited.
that is great. Where do they come from? What?
Have you not heard of them?
No.
Oh my goodness. Yes. You're going to have to go on YouTube. They have a huge following on YouTube. They have their own clothing line. And what they do is they go to different golf courses and they challenge the local golf professionals. While they're on the island, they're going to be doing a scavenger hunt, and it's like elimination on the team. So they have to, we have them making lays. We have them looking for golf balls in our farm. They're going to do lahala weaving at our beautiful Kauai Museum.
Wow.
So, yeah, they're huge on YouTube.
Oh, fantastic. So all of this is going to be filmed and we'll be able to see it. And it's at Hokuala.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Fantastic. Okay. Then the Aloha Scramble and Aloha Swing. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You said 2 p.m., right?
Right. So the Scramble, they tee off at 2 o'clock, but we offer them a golf clinic at 1 o'clock.
Ah.
So a lot of people take advantage because it's included in the Scramble.
Right.
Pricing.
Right. Great. That's fine. And that's all right. And then you play the front nine. And golf shots over mango groves is one of the little things that I picked up online.
Yes. So our front nine, number five and number six, you hit over the ravine of this valley with the mangoes tops. You can see it. Sometimes your golf balls will see it. But hopefully you get it over those ravines. And then they normally at 2 o'clock, they can get in 18 holes, and we encourage them to finish up definitely on the back nine, of course, right? We're famous for our oceanfront continuous stretch of longest stretch of ocean holes in the state.
In the state, hole 13 to 16, is that it?
Correct, but you can see the ocean on every hole in the back nine.
That's why it says online too. Cameras a must.
Yes, definitely.
You don't want to miss that. Now, this is something, a talk story golf clinic on Sundays, and it's free.
So Tom Freestone leads that, and it's just because Tom Freestone loves to talk. So it's a he talks about the game and, you know, about the swing in general. And sometimes Coach Juan or Coach Isaac, they're both our assistant golf professionals. They'll chip in also.
All right. So that's at 3132 Ninini Point at Lagoon Hale. Is that correct?
Correct. We moved out of our current location. They're doing renovations to the golf shop and actually building a new hotel there.
Wow.
And we're scheduled to move back into our original location in September. We're very excited about that.
Nice. And if you want to register, there's a phone number I can give you. It's 808-241-6000.
Correct.
241-6000, of course, 808. Excellent. Now, this one's kind of hard for me to, you know, to buy. Guaranteed to hit a 220-yard drive after the clinic. Really?
Okay, on which clinic? After the talk story one?
Yes. I was like, really?
Okay, I don't know. That might be the guy thing, but no. I'll teach you how to score.
Good. That's what we need. Teach us how to score. Okay, Kelly, did you ever want to go, like, into the LPGA?
No, I didn't have a game like that, but I was able to caddy for Lori Costello, for Brenda Rago.
Wow.
Yeah, and, you know, they're just amazing women, and, yeah, I got to hang out with some great LPGA people, especially when they came to the islands back in the day. They used to play our golf course. They played the Mackay golf course, you know, Jan Stevenson. Of course, Mary B.
Yes.
Lives on our island, so it's always wonderful to be in her presence.
Yeah, you know, I've been twisting her arm to be on the show.
Oh, you got to get her on.
Oh, I know. And I just got the message, and you know, and so I just keep sending little notes. Mary B, can you be on the show today? But she's one of those people that's like, she's booked. And when she's...
I'll nudge her.
Yeah, nudge her for me. When she's booked, she's so totally in on what she's doing. And that's that's the beauty of Mary B. Porter King. She's just so committed when she gets involved in something. And I absolutely love her for it. It was wonderful. So so the weather right now on Kauai, if we all want to fly over and jump in and see your Aloha Swing Clinic or the Aloha Scramble and Aloha Swing, the 1 p.m. clinic with the 2 p.m. getting out there on the golf course. What's the weather on Kauai?
It's a little overcast. Trade winds are blowing. They're normal. But hopefully it'll blow all this stuff out, and we'll have sunshine for good golf.
Good golf. Is there anything that you wanted to add that I didn't give you an opportunity to?
We have the newest Callaway club fitting, and I just got certified. Yay! So that's pretty huge. So we have that in the golf shop. So if anybody wants to come in, and we know you can help me out by getting more experience on doing some club fitting.
Now, tell me something. Explain why it's important to have those golf clubs that you just bought fitted for you.
Oh, gosh, because it's such a huge advantage of getting fitted, because then you're going to be more consistent. You're going to be more confident. You're going to look down at these clubs and go, wow, these look really good, instead of those rusty clubs that your grandma or grandpa passed down to you.
Plus, a club fitting, it's like if you're to wear pants that are too long, you know, it just trips you up, right?
That's right. Everybody says it's the arrow, not the Indian, but it is the arrow for golf equipment. You know, it's just such a huge advantage.
There you go.
To get fitted correctly.
There you go. You want your clubs to fit you, not you trying to fit yourself around your clubs.
Yeah.
Right on. Yeah. Kelly Hines, you're going to be on with us again, right?
Absolutely. With Mary B.
With Mary B. Right on. Okay. Nudge her. Nudge.
I will.
Okay. Thank you, Kelly Hines.
You're welcome.
Kelly Hines, PGA professional, Hokuala Golf Adventures, Hokuala Teaching Program. It's all at the Ocean Course at Hokuala. Well, we just about ran out of time. I think we have another commercial break to do, and then we'll be right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls, learn the game from PJ and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me?
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
I'm 9 now, but when I was 8, I'd do things I wasn't supposed to.
You don't talk when people are putting.
Always repair the ball mark.
You keep your own score, so you have to know how to act.
And you gotta tell the truth.
Put a golf club in kids' hands and watch them grow.
If you do certain things that you're not supposed to, you get a shot added to your score. You don't want to do those things.
The First Tee teaches kids values that will impact their communities and the rest of their lives.
If it wasn't for golf, I'd be like my friends, a couch potato.
Visit thefirsttee.org to learn more.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box, see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come, join the aloha at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And remember when Pearl Country Club became Pearl at Kalaau'au when they were closed for 12 months? Well, they have 7 major industry accolades, spanning the golf course design to junior programming, food and beverage excellence, all of that. And I'm really looking forward to talking to the folks over there about all those accolades that have been coming in. Certainly worth all of the time and trouble. And okay, partly sunny skies, breezy today. So if you're going to get on the golf course, be prepared for a wind game. Scattered showers scheduled through the day, windward and Mauka. Leeward side, isolated showers in the afternoon, maybe 78 to 83. And the winds are easterly, 15 to 25 miles per hour. So expect that. So, for instance, if we were driving along, mostly cloudy in the evening and then clearing, and then it'll be breezy tomorrow night, and then it's supposed to rain a lot coming up, but we'll see how that goes out. And then we've got some, just a little note from Golf Digest. Which new golf clubs are best for you? Your recommendation is usually, you know, to go for club fitting, but what are some of the ways that you would determine whether I could be better with a higher or lower launching club? This year, I can go one step further, writes the author, thanks to the new Hotless Compare tool. You might want to check that out. I always recommend that you look at everybody, not just Golf Digest, Golf Magazine, whatever. Just try to get into the head of some of these guys. Drivers, high launching irons, all of those things come into play. And you'll probably want to find out which is the best for you so your game is fun rather than frustrating. And there's a tee time for you if you'd like at 9:18 at the Makalei Golf Course on the Big Island. We have at Kauai Lagoons at 10:50. And the San Francisco Bankers are in town. They're having the Colon Cancer 9th Annual Bums Run. Okay, that's at, Danielle, 9th Annual Bums Run for Colon Cancer, raising money, and that's over at Poipu, but they do have a tee time, 11:40, 12:20, at least at last check there was that tee time. And Royal Hawaiian Country Club on Oahu is a 9:10, 11:20. The Bay City Rollers, they're out at Hawaii Prince. There's a 12:40 if you want to watch out that you don't get rolled over. I want to thank you for being right here with me. And thank you for your mana. And may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2026.